From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this look at local and statewide news. A Juneau man has been missing for more than a week. Family and friends have been posting on social media and searching for Douglas Farnsworth for several days. Juneau Police Lieutenant Craig Campbell says the department assigned a detective to Farnsworth's case on October 1st. When the detective talked to his family, he found out that Farnsworth was driving someone else's truck, which was found near the Perseverance trailhead.
That in itself was just unusual because the keys were left in it. There were some personal items belonging to Mr. Farnsworth in it.
After the truck was found, Juneau Police contacted the Alaska State Troopers to launch a search.
But they didn't think he was out, like, hiking or anything. There was reasons to believe that he wasn't doing that, but maybe he had gone into the woods and may need some assistance in getting back.
The troopers and a local canine search group called Sea Dogs were searching near downtown on Friday and Saturday. On Saturday morning, the Coast Guard was doing flyovers of downtown in a helicopter looking for Farnsworth. But Campbell says they didn't find any trace of him, and Sea Dogs didn't pick up a scent.
Then you're just kind of blindly searching in the woods, and it's just such a huge area to cover. That's not something they're typically doing.
So for now, Campbell says troopers have called off their active search, though he says they can start it up again if they get new information. He says the police department still has a detective on the case who is investigating it. Farnsworth was contacted by Juneau Police on September 27th about a misdemeanor driving under the influence charge, but Campbell says he doesn't think that's the last time anyone saw Farnsworth. He says they got a report that someone saw him driving in town on the 28th. Farnsworth's sister, who goes by Kiki Dawn, traveled to Juneau from out of town yesterday. She says it's not normal for him to vanish from social media. He's prolific on TikTok, where he has nearly 11,000 followers. She says he wasn't an avid camper or hiker. Campbell says anyone who knows something about Farnsworth's disappearance can contact 586-0600 or make an anonymous report to Juneau's crime line. Legislators and others who work in the Capitol will again be required to test for COVID-19 regularly. The Legislative Council, which is responsible for the Capitol, updated its COVID-19 safety policy on Tuesday in response to a recent surge in cases. Juneau Democratic Representative Sarah Hannon is the council's chair. She says the update will improve safety while minimizing costs.
I feel like it is a step in the right direction and contemplates the movement of people who are regularly coming in and out of the building.
The updated policy requires those who work in the Capitol to be tested every 4 days and to isolate if they test positive. The new policy doesn't affect members of the public who are required to wear a mask in the Capitol and to screen themselves for symptoms before entering the building. The council voted 10-3 in favor of the testing. Eagle River Republican Senator Laura Reinbold was among the no votes.
We are constitutionally required to be at the Capitol, and I don't want to be put in a box where I'm not allowed to represent people if I don't follow something, you know, such as encycling testing every 4 days to access the Capitol. I think this is about the most unconstitutional thing I've ever seen.
Reinbold has been banned by Alaska Airlines for refusing to wear a mask. The new policy will not require those who work in the Capitol to provide proof that they have been tested. The council considered reinstituting screening at the door to verify that people have been tested, but the members decided against it, noting both the cost and the possibility that lawmakers may not spend much time in the Capitol this special session, which must end by November 2nd. The next floor sessions are scheduled for Friday. Another Alaska agency says it's become the victim of a cybersecurity incident, making it the fourth to disclose such a disruption in the past year. Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media has more.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, which operates separate computer systems from the state's executive branch, says it discovered the activity of a, quote, nefarious third party in August. It took weeks for the institute to fully recover from the attack, but the effects were limited, and only some employees and functions were disrupted, according to Executive Director Jeremy Woodrow. ASME is a public-private partnership housed by the state's Commerce Department. It spends only federal grant money and tax revenue generated by the fishing industry. As far as the Institute is aware, there was no impact from the attack on the Alaska public or the state's fishing industry. Most of ASME's sensitive data is stored on separate state-run computer systems. Cybersecurity breaches have become a growing problem for Alaska agencies and businesses and governments around the world in the past year. In December, state officials announced that hackers had compromised Alaska's election systems and accessed the personal information of more than 100,000 voters. Then in May, disruptive attacks hit Alaska's court system and its health department. The health department is still contending with the effects months later. State technology officials have released few details about the nature of the attacks on those agencies or about the identity of the attackers. The Seafood Marketing Institute is also declining to reveal many details about its incident, like the identity of the attacker or the exact nature of the disruptions to the institute's work. Both the FBI and Alaska's Commerce Department, which houses ASME, were involved in the institute's response. Those agencies declined to comment. ASME is still waiting on a final report on the incident, but officials say they think they can adequately protect their computer systems without having to ask for a bigger budget for cybersecurity. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
A potential gold mine is being explored in western Alaska, just north of the Donlin Gold Project. But the company exploring the area says a mine actually being developed there is far from guaranteed. KYUK's Greg Kemp has the details.
The potential mine is called Flat Gold. It's in its very early stages. It's located just 25 miles north of the Donlin Gold Project. Tectonic Metals is a company that will be exploring Flat for gold. CEO and President Tony Retta says there are key differences between Flat and Donlin.
We're years, decades behind where Donlin is, so we don't even know if Flat is going to be a mine.
But if Flat does become a mine, Retta says it could benefit from being so close to Donlin.
We're not hanging our hat on Donlin moving forward, but obviously, given the scale and the magnitude of that project, I would envision not just Flat, but the entire area benefiting from, say, improved infrastructure, roads, power being brought in.
Flat could also benefit from a gas pipeline, which Donlin got approval in August from the state to build. It would stretch from Cook Inlet to Crooked Creek at the Kuskokwim River headwaters. Several tribes in the YK Delta are challenging the state's approval in court. Doyon Limited, a regional Alaska Native corporation, owns the land where the Flat Gold Project is located. Doyon CEO and President Aaron Schutt says despite Donlin and Flat being so close together, they would have different potential environmental impacts. While Donlin is in the Kuskokwim River watershed, Flat is not. Instead, Schutt says water in Flat flows into the Iditarod, Innoko, and Yukon rivers. Any potential partnership between Flat and Donlin would be years or decades into the future. For now, Flat is in an exploration phase. The mineral exploration company Tectonic will be determining if enough gold exists there to build a mine. Retta says this process can take a very long time.
On average, the life cycle of a project going from, say, discovery into production is 20 years.
Tectonic was founded in 2017 and is based in Vancouver, Canada. In its short history, Tectonic has explored 7 sites for gold. None have become mines yet.
In our industry, the norm is that most of these projects do not make it.
But there is evidence that suggests Flat contains gold. According to Tectonic, the precious metal was first discovered there in 1908, after which Tectonic says an estimated 1.4 million ounces of gold were extracted through placer mining. Placer mining separates gold from sand or gravel rather than drilling into rock. In the next few weeks, Retta says Tectonic will send geologists to sample and analyze the rock surface in various areas of Flat. If those samples prove promising, he said the company could move on to drilling in the coming years. Then the project could employ dozens and up to over 100 people. Retta says many would be local workers.
We intentionally incorporated local hiring preferences, Doyon organizations, local villages.
The landowner for the project, Doyon, does not stand to benefit much financially from this deal unless enough gold is discovered at Flat for a mine to be built. At that point, Doyon gets royalties on any gold that is extracted. CEO and President Aaron Schutt said Flat may never get to that point.
In rural Alaska, you have to discover quite a sizable resource, whether that's gold or any other mineral, in order for it to even potentially become a mine.
Schutt said by the end of this deal, Doyon would at least learn more about its lands. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
Juneau City officials say there should be early election results from school board and assembly races by Friday at 7 p.m., though they'll still be unofficial. Over the past few weeks, ballots came in through vote centers, drop boxes, and the mail, and there are still ballots trickling in. Those ballots will be taken to Anchorage on Thursday for final processing. Results will be final on October 19th after the local canvas review board certifies the election. And finally, we aired a story on Tuesday about a new medevac jet in Juneau. Airlift Northwest's Juneau base manager was misidentified. Her name is Elise Blasco. That is the latest from the KTOO newsroom. If you're looking for more local and statewide news, you can visit us at kto.org. I'm Rasha McChesney.